Hello, everyone. This is Duncan Steer. New information. Carlton Kirby, Eurosport's voice of cycling, has a second book. It's coming out on Thursday, May the 25th. It's called Sticky Bottle. And who better to tell us all about it than Carlton Kirby? Carlton Kirby.
Hey. Hello.
Are you very well, Carlton Kirby? You must be excited.
Well, I'm all right. I've had a spider bite. So my right arm has sort of pumped up like Popeye. The other arm's just as skinny and useless as usual. But so I've got a very impressive right arm at the moment, so I'm on a bit
tangential right from the start, just as you would want. So this is your second. You're not commentating on the Giro d'Italia, I notice.
No, I'm not.
But we may talk a little bit about that shortly. But so the second book, people who have your first book, Magic Spanner, mm-hmm. The World of Cycling According to Carlton Kirby. Now that seems a fairly self-contained book. I mean, that seemed like a comprehensive guide. So is the second book just the same stuff in a different order?
No. Oh, no.
Is it not?
No. The first book was basically life on the road. It was a day divided up with anecdotes from time slots throughout a day, as you would be as a commentator on the road. And Sticky Bottle is entirely different. It's basically a bucket list, really, of crazy races slotted into a calendar. So if you want to do the alternative to just the Tour de France or the Giro or La Vuelta, then there are thousands of other races around the planet, and some of them are really, really bizarre. So I've kind of gone to, I've mentioned some of the African races, the Missa Bongo, various other bits and pieces, and North America, and also those races within Europe where people don't really consider them as valid to get on a plane and go and enjoy. So it's really a way of helping people to find events that maybe they've overlooked and really shouldn't be, because there are some spectacular races out there that, quite frankly, you can get very, very close to the stars and have a fantastic time, see some great racing. You don't need to go to the Tour de France. That's top of everyone's list, of course, and I've been there many times, so it's easy for me to say. But there are some just brilliant races that you must go and see, and they're detailed in this book. It doesn't just do road racing either. I've done the National Hill Climb. Pedants will say, well, that is road racing. Well, it's not quite, is it? But TT up a hill. Willits Pass. I've done the Red Hook City Crits, which are just absolutely brilliant. The one on the Brooklyn docks in New York is just fantastic. That's fixie racing on a very tight circuit with crashes guaranteed, but a huge sort of rock festival around it. The Tour de Faso, you can get over there, Burkina Faso, and I'll tell you all about it, where to go. So what I've done is I've started off the year with the GP Marseillaise, and each race has an anecdote attached to it. And the Marseillaise, of course, is called Gangster Dash. That's the that's the first anecdote is basically me running away from machine gun toting gangsters being chased by helicopters and the rest of it. It's all true, but thankfully it was me screwing up a film set rather than actually being physically under threat. But
wow. So you hit the ground running.
So it's a great start. That's in January. Anyway.
Well, so there's some big words you've used there: bizarre, spectacular, brilliant. I mean, obviously, I would think we could maybe focus on, let's pick something bizarre. I mean, what is a race that strikes you as bizarre? And maybe none of our listeners, I mean, you're saying these are races that no one goes to because they would maybe focus on going to the classics or the Giro de Vuelta, the Tour. What's a very obscure and bizarre race to you that you could give a little flavour of here?
Well, there's the Coast to Coast Tuvalu. That's across Funafuti Atoll. It's the only race I've ever won. That takes place every December. And basically, you get the postal bikes set up on one side of the airstrip. And it's first to reach the diesel power generator house on the other side wins the Coconut Cup.
Hang on the other side of the airstrip.
Yes.
So you're going across the width of an airstrip.
That's right? Correct. That is just about the width of the island, because, as people know, atolls, generally speaking, tend to be a bit like broken smoke rings with a lagoon in the middle, because they're quite often sort of blown away volcanoes, that part of which has come up above the sea level due to the coral reefs that grow on it. And then, of course, they get beplanted by palm trees and the rest of it, and eventually over millennia become islands where people stopped off and thought, oh, it's quite nice here. Free coconut crabs, which are one of the rarest and most delicious pieces of seafood that you're likely to find, because they degrade very, very quickly. They've got millions of them, so you just fill your boots, but you can't actually freeze them, and they're very difficult to transport because they're extremely temperamental, a bit like Brian Smith.
Well, let's not go down too much of a rabbit hole, hole. Let's not. So how long is this race that you won then? The width of an airstrip? It was like 100 yards or something.
650 metres, what's the matter with you? You
know. Is it? It's like an endurance. It's like an endurance race.
It was.
Oh, my gosh.
I won a tropical cocktail.
And is there a crowd assembled for this?
No. Everyone who could be bothered and is up in the 45 degrees, 200% humidity is actually involved in the race, or indeed sleeping it off somewhere.
So this book's coming out May the 25th.
Yes.
By the time you hear this podcast, I mean, the podcast's coming out on May the 25th, but you may hear it after that. We have a couple of live events, launch events. We're going to Reading, not the Reading Festival, 21st of June in Reading, and then Southampton, 27th of June.
Brilliant.
And but then we actually have a launch. You have a launch event in London on the 22nd of June. And you're all invited to Reading and Southampton, of course, but everyone's invited to the one in London. Maybe you could say a few words about that, Carlton.
Yeah, it's at Cycle Fit, which is just off Tottenham Court Road. Go Google it. Anyone who comes along and buys a book gets a free drink and lots of crisps and vol-au-vents and things like that. It's going to be really nice.
So this is a free event. Reading and Southampton, it's a full show with live band. There's not a live band, but it's a full show. Whereas I think, and you have to pay.
Yeah.
But in London, it's free and not a full show, but free drink. So there's a lot to weigh up. It's almost algebraic to decide which one you should come to. If you want less Carlton Kirby but more free drink, London is the way to go.
Yeah, it is. That's on the 22nd. Yes, at Cycle Fit, just off the Tottenham Court Road.
And is that a big kind of cycle superstore, Carlton?
No, it's actually a very, very shishy bike shop which sells frames that cost around about 10 grand. But they're sort of, what do you call those? 3D printed for you. So they're absolutely perfect fit, provided you don't put any weight on or lose any weight, obviously.
So this will be like a gathering of the clans.
Yes.
And I imagine it will all tumble out onto the street and into the surrounding.
Well, they have a spill license, which is really useful, which means that if it gets a bit rowdy, you can just kind of step outside. I think the place could probably hold about 80 people standing. So if you all come in your hordes, you might well be standing outside, but I will be doing the jingle mingle and saying hello and ringing a few bells, hopefully.
What a thing. Now, I think it's probably too soon for us to know what time that's kicking off, isn't it? Or do
six,
we know?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Yes.
That's very prompt.
Thursday, June, 22nd.
June the 22nd, that is.
That's correct, yes.
All these launch events are cunningly a month after the books come out.
They are, but before the Tour de France, when everyone's juices are finally sort of flowing. Yes,
exactly.
As if they're not anyway with the Giro, for goodness sake. I've got lots of Giro anecdotes through the book, actually.
Well, I should say, and we will have some more shows coming up after the tour and into the autumn, where we're going to go around the country. We've been asked to go to places. We'll even go to places we haven't been asked to go to. And
whether they like it or not.
Watch it's at Carlton Kirby on Twitter, isn't it?
Yes.
For the home of all that self-promotion. But at the moment, we should talk about Mark Cavendish, shouldn't we?
We should, bless him.
He makes you weep, doesn't he? I mean, when he wins, when he loses. And what about now he's retired? You must be weeping, you know, uncontrollably.
No, actually, I'm really happy for him. I was in Oman with him this year, and we had a long old conversation, a big old chat about life, the universe and everything, which is generally what Mark and I do. We don't sort of bore ourselves with talking about cycling, because he's done enough of that. So usually fast cars and motocross, and which he absolutely loved. I think he might take that up a bit, to be honest. And just family life as well, because he's got young kids like I have. And yeah, it was just really nice to catch up with him. It's been a long time. The thing about Mark is, I've known him a long, long time, you know, and he is genuinely a really lovely, extraordinarily sensitive guy. And so the questions he has to face down all the time, almost constantly, would really drive me up the wall. So I think he's almost should be beatified for actually holding the line, because it must be very irksome having somebody sitting in front of him that really does ask a very annoying, how do you feel kind of question. So, yeah, anyway, he's very humbled by sort of simple shows of sensitivity, which I think is just really nice. You know, somebody gives him a bottle of water, he's just like, oh, thank you very much. You know, he's the politest, nicest guy you could possibly hope to meet. He's just an absolute killer when he gets on the bike, which is what we want.
Well, I was going to say, no. he's not always the most polite,
but
man, is he?
But he's very so, easy to... It's very easy to move on with Mark, because he will blow up when things aren't right, but that's because he has very high benchmark that he sets himself and expects everyone else to do the same. But once it's all vented and once it's sorted, then that's it. Everyone can move on. It's not a... There's no grudges with that man at all.
And you must have called... What, have you called all of his Tour de France stage wins? Or you must have called...
Just about.
A good number of them.
I think I have. Most of the latter ones anyway, certainly. I mean, you know, I've got very emotional 2 years ago when he started back in winning ways. It was in Turkey, and then, of course, he levelled Eddie Merckx's record on the tour itself. I mean, even if that's it, loads of people saying, "Oh, do you think he'll win one more?" It doesn't matter if he doesn't, but it would be fantastic if he does. You know, I think that's the way to view it. But it is his last season, and he's going to look forward to the rest of his life, which he can bask in the glory of what he's achieved. I'm not sure you're going to hear too much of him on the media, to be honest, because I think he's tried it a few times, didn't like it at all.
What, has he come on with you? Has he come on Eurosport?
No, he's never been paired with me. And I think if he was, I think he'd have a much happier sort of introduction to it, because I kind of know what buttons to press with Mark, and he's the same with me. We're very comfortable in each other's company. So if he was going to do any commentary, I think he'd be great, actually. But he just doesn't fancy it at the moment. I think because they had him as a studio guest last year on the Tour de France, because, of course, he wasn't racing. And they threw to him, and everything conked out. So all the links went down, and he found it very uncomfortable. And so it was about to him as a fire, really. And so I think he thought, this is rubbish. He used much stronger words than that.
And now, look, it's been such an event-packed race, the Giro.
Yes.
And we talked about Mark Cavendish's retirement, but there's been so much other stuff. And it's what we say about it may date, so we're not going to do any punditry on that. Maybe I think we should talk about, you know, Giro's past, your love of Italy, and it's maybe... Have you any bizarre stories? We should have prepared something.
There's some crackers in the book, actually.
Really?
Maybe we could delve into it. One of my favourites is... Have I ever told you personally about breaking into Mussolini's office? Well, at the Duomo in Milan, I was invited before we actually went on air, because in those days it was... you know, we didn't do flag to line, as it were. So we had a couple of hours to kill before we actually went live. And this guy who was running a drinks promotion in the Galleria, which is right next door to the Duomo in central Milan, he said to me, "Hey, do you want to see something really, really fucking weird?" Well, yeah, I'm always up for that, provided it's not going to get me arrested. And like, well... maybe. So he said, "Come with me," and I went through this crossed over this sort of marble hallway, and there was these amazing sort of mahogany doors, and we opened it up, and it was Mussolini's office. And it's been preserved historically for historians, but nobody knows about it. Well, obviously, until Sticky Bottle comes out. So we were like, I was just overawed. He said, and this is the desk, and this is his pen, and these are the pictures. They're all sort of suitably Teutonic, you know, all of the stuff that was in there. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is great. We're just doing some selfies. You know, I'm there sitting on Musso's leather chair with my feet on his desk and all that kind of stuff. When security burst in, and they were really not happy at all. You know, armed Carabinieri with this Stalag Luft 19 lady in front of them, who was just absolutely incandescent with rage. What the hell are you doing in here? She said. And then we had to hand over our phones, delete all the photographs. Then we had to say we were sorry. And then we had to say we were sorry like we really meant it.
Or what? They will arrest you if you don't sound very sincere.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think sincerity was the big thing anyway. So we were really, really, really sorry. And we deleted all the photos. So unfortunately, I don't have a picture of inside Mussolini's office overlooking the Duomo in Milan. But I do tell you where it is.
What pictures? Are there pictures in the book? Can you tell us about some of the pictures?
It's funny, actually, because when people buy the book, the first thing you do is go to the plates. And
yeah,
have
of
a
course.
Look.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very strange. There's a picture of me and Mark actually from Oman this year. He actually looks like he's sort of, because there's a photographer hovering around. Mark is very adept at giving them what they need without actually being told to do so. So he sort of put his elbows flat like a triangle on the table and rested his chin on his hands, and then he's looking up at me, and it looks like it's sort of Jack and Ori, and Mark's enthralled by a
Listen
story I'm telling. But we're just
here's
talking
an,
about
here's an extract from Sticky Bottle. You're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly. There's also the winners ceremony from Funafuti Atoll, the Coconut Cup race, with me there with my sarong and my laurels.
I've never seen this picture.
Well, you will.
And I should say, readers, I don't have a copy of the book. I mean, what can I say?
It's coming. It's coming okay. Today. There is the chewing gum wall in Verona, where Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet. The famous balcony is there. And, of course, all these youngsters come along there because it's the lover's place to be. And in order to proclaim their love for each other, they stick chewing gum on the wall and then draw their initials into the chewing gum. It's the most disgusting thing. So, that's one of them. There's the Last Supper. So all credit to Gary Imlach's hair. The website. That was what they used to be called. They've called themselves something else now, I think. But anyway, it was a tribute to him. It was his birthday, I think. Doesn't he have his birthday on the tour every year? And they've put all of the saints on the Last Supper. I am Judas in it, and I have Alan Partridge worshipping at my feet. So that's one of them, which
of
I love. There's the Trobro Leon Piglet being awarded. That's a race you've got to go and see. Don't run over the piglet. That's happened in the past.
That's not one that... Did Sean Kelly win that race?
I think he might have done. No.
Or did he win a pig somewhere else?
No. He won a cow. You're thinking of winning a cow. Yes, he won a cow.
I've no idea. I can't tell the difference. What can I tell you?
Then he had to get a license to export the cow back in the day, and it was too much hassle. So I just took the burgers.
Well, we buy the book. I mean, I don't want to be too instructive. Or if you come to the shows, I'm sure some of these, scattergun observations will be unravelled in greater detail.
Well, on the back of the book, Robbie McEwen's quote is, if races went off on as many tangents as Carlton does during commentary, they'd be 500 kilometres long. Thanks, Robbie.
Magic Spanner did very well, didn't it? And how was the reaction to it? You got a lot of acclaim. You got a few brickbats. I mean, that's you take that in your stride,
yeah,
I take
that's,
it.
That's par for the course. Well, it got shortlisted for the Daily Telegraph Sports Book Awards. And people went, this is not a sports book. Well, of course it is. It's full of sports. It's just full of entertainment as well. That's the way I like my commentary.
Who said that? Who said it's not a sports
Lots
book?
Lots of people. Mainly other writers that you might be associated
was there,
with.
Was there
so
a petition?
I'm not going to mention their names.
No, really. Come on. I'm fully on side.
Well, Well, let me tell you this then. Matt Rendell, I said, yeah, I've written a second book. And he said, yeah, but they're just anecdotes, aren't they? It's like, oh, well, that's easy. You know, you don't have to do much research, do you? Well, no, because it's all in my head.
my life is my research. What do you? I've been doing it for years. What do you want?
Yeah.
I didn't have to get
any legal papers out in order to write it. It's just because it's all true.
We don't want to go down yet another tangent, but you know, Matt Rendell does get death threats after his books, not from the readers, no, from the people he's written about. He gets death threats. He's a serious writer. Have you ever had a serious writer,
and I'm not a very serious writer, and I think therein lies the difference.
But you haven't had, you didn't get a death threat off the first book.
No, but I also got 6 reprints, so hey.
That's how you measure it. So, and this one was, but was this an enjoyable process doing the second book? Is it enjoyable? Do you find it easy to call to mind all the anecdotes and get them in the right
order? Well, it's a strange one. Everyone needs a deadline, and I think there's, how many chapters are there? I think there are 35 chapters, something like that. So that's a lot of races, kids. Yeah, something like 36 chapters.
It's a lot of chapters, isn't it?
Well, it's a big cycling season. There is a lot to cram in.
There's a lot to say.
Wild and wonderful stories that I hope will make you giggle. They're bound to make them giggle. I mean, we bring houses down, Duncan. They're going to laugh.
They're going to laugh. But I mean, if you take it on your holiday, it'd have to be like a long holiday if it's 36 chapters. That's what I'm thinking, you know.
Don't hold anything hot while you're reading it.
Well, and on that bombshell, so let's just recap. The book is basically out now.
Yes.
Come to Reading or Southampton. I know.
Yes.
Don't ask the random pattern behind our show's readers. Perhaps you can spot it. Reading, Southampton in June, and also London, the gathering of the clans, the Carlton Kobe clans, just off Tottenham Court Road. Specific address to be given shortly. And what's that?
On Twitter. Yeah.
June the 22nd. At Carlton Kirby, Twitter. All, you know, you will be invited and you will.
Yes.
Will you all get a free drink? Everyone will get a free drink.
Everyone will get a free drink. How's about that? And, you know, I'm not talking, you know, just a glass of lemonade either. It'll be proper.
Do you know exactly what the drinks will be? Can you say?
I imagine it'll be something ginny. But
get the Carlton Kirby book and then have strong drink.
Yes, exactly.
Which, you know.
Yes, and I think you deserve as well to have a big up for Radio Days events, which is just absolutely brilliant. Both Duncan and I have done some great tours, and it's not just me. There's a few others as well, quite frankly. You're a busy man, aren't you?
I've got a lot coming up before the tour with various guests being chopped and changed at different venues. So, yes. Anyway, it's not about me, Carlton Kirby. Not about me. It's about
Radio Days events is where you need to go. There you go. I've done it for you.
That's very good of you. Well, good. Well, good luck with the book, Carlton Kirby. And I'm sure
Sticky Bottle are you is sticky what bottle? It's called.
Are you? I mean, you do like self promotion, don't you? That is, you know, you're not about as shy of. So people will be hearing more about it, won't they?
Yes, unfortunately, the afternoon sofa has gone into meltdown, hasn't it? On BBC and ITV at the moment, so.
Are you waiting by the phone? Should
invited.
I get off the phone? I think that's a poison chalice, surely.
I think so.
To be continued.
I'll stick with what I do.